Good morning, beautiful people. Welcome back to the second hour of Love Babs Love Talk. I'm Babs Rawls Ivy. I'm delighted this morning because I have composer Martin Hebel and Margaret Astrap. Astrap? Astrap. Unmute yourself so we can get into this conversation. They're having a concert at the Bethesda Music Series, which will present this concert by local composer Martin Hebel. It's a concert that is free, but will benefit the work of Iris, we all believe in the work of Iris. So composer Hebel is a six-time American Prize winner and featured artist of the 2023 American Composers Orchestra Earshot Program with the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra. He is from Hamden. He works at the intersection of music, advocacy, and interdisciplinary collaboration. He responds to the challenges of today's global community with socially conscious compositions, exploring the common ground of shared experiences. I actually wanted to read that because I just thought that was so amazing to sort of read that. And Margaret makes things go at Bethesda Lutheran. How are y'all? Welcome. Unmute yourselves.
Well, thank you for having us. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Martin,
guys.
Tell us about you. You're from Hamden. Where do you live now?
From Hamden. I'm actually at the moment for a little longer living in Binghamton, New York, but I am originally from Hamden, New Haven area. I was born in New Haven, raised there. I grew up going to, you know, concerts of the New Haven Symphony and all that. I once upon a time back in for a few years in middle school, I went to foot school in New Haven. I went to high school at Hamden High.
So you are really a Connecticut person.
Oh, very much. Yes. Yeah. I did my undergraduate work at University of Connecticut in Storrs, where I met quite a few wonderful professors, including I had a theory professor, Ron Squibbs, he was the one I showed my very first composition to, and he encouraged me to go down the hall and meet a guy named Ken Fuchs, who's a Grammy-winning composer, and between the two of them, they pretty much raised me musically, shall we say, and I was in Connecticut up until the end of my undergrad. I went to graduate school in Cincinnati, and now, since I graduated, I finished my doctorate in 2021, and I've been traveling teaching at quite a few universities. Most recently, I'm finishing up this semester at Binghamton University, which is part of the SUNY system in New York.
Mm-hmm. So when did you come to music? Were you one of these kids where your parents made you take an instrument and then you were a band kid? Like, how did you come to music?
Well, I had a rather circuitous route. I've always been kind of interested in music, but growing up, my siblings, I'm actually a triplet. Fun side note. My siblings were actually more musically talented and interested growing up. They both sang with the Trinity choirs on the New Haven Green. So I didn't actually really get into music that seriously until I played trumpet growing up. I started as a band kid. I had a trumpet in fourth grade, but it was one of those scenarios where I didn't actually choose trumpet initially. I was given a trumpet because the neighbors were giving one away for free, and that's how I started music.
Wow.
So thank you to those neighbors.
That's pretty good. And so your parents supported that, and do your mm-hmm. siblings play an instrument too?
They did through the end of high school or so. Now they're artistic still, but professionally doing other things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so when did you know that music was going to become your profession?
Well, I knew that music was the route I needed to take, and I knew teaching was the route I wanted to take. And initially, I thought I wanted to teach music on like as a high school band director or something along those lines. So I got ready for college. So at the end of high school, I was getting ready to go to UConn or audition for UConn, and I told my mom, so I need this trumpet. It was a fancy new sea trumpet. And I was like, I need this trumpet. It's gonna be expensive. How are we gonna do this? And we struck a deal where I would rebuild her garage, which is standing to this day, I'll tell you. I had some minimal carpentry skills, and I rebuilt the garage and redid all the electrical work. I believe it is up to code, but don't go sniffing. and I in return for that, she bought me this trumpet. I went, used that trumpet in the audition, and became at the time a music ed student. And then during my freshman year of college is when I found out that composers exist, and like to this day, and that I could do that. So I got started doing that, and pretty quickly things turned, and I started really finding that composition was my strongest suit and most passionate area of music. And I decided to pursue graduate work so that I could teach on the college level. So by the time I finished my undergraduate, I went then to the University of Cincinnati College Conservatory of Music, which is in Cincinnati, Ohio. And I did my master's and my doctorate there,
Berkeley.
and the rest is history.
So, Margaret, tell me about the Bethesda music series.
The Bethesda Music Series has been around, was started about 30 years ago, and its mission is to support and the various social services in the greater New Haven area. Everything from shelters to Christian Community Action to Habitat for Humanity, soup kitchens, and in this case, IRIS, and to do so by presenting musical concerts. And so we have from 4 to 5 concerts every year to this end. And 100% of the donations, since all the concerts are free to the public, we ask for donations. Are you hearing me? Sorry. Okay. Since all the concerts are free to the public, we simply ask for donations, and 100% of those donations that are freely given at the end of the concert will go to each beneficiary. And we draw from various area musicians. We bring in some from New York. Our own Bethesda musicians participate in many of them. I'm a professor, a music professor at Western Connecticut State University, and some of my colleagues are coming in for this concert, as well as members of the New Haven Symphony. And then our choir, we commissioned a work from Martin that will be performed at the concert also.
So how did you set on Martin? Martin, is this your church? Do you know these people?
Yes,
Like, how do
this is actually the this is the church I grew up in.
Okay.
So I've known the church for a very long time, and Maggie has known me since I was born. So it's a long time.
Yeah. Yes,
Wow.
it's a long relationship. The triplets were raised and confirmed at Bethesda, and Martin's brother is my son's best friend, and so it goes way back, and I've been very interested in Martin's work because of its really significant message. And he has gotten grants to further his work by interviewing refugees and people who have been displaced, whether by war or famine, or even drought, whatever, climate change. And I find it very moving. And I was able to premiere one of his works a couple of years ago. And I'm extremely happy that our choir will get to premiere another work this Sunday.
So tell me about this body of work, Martin, that you create. Did you create it just for this? This is Between Tides. Is this work specifically for this music series, or was this something that you played other places?
Well, this will be the world premiere. No one has heard it before. This particular work was commissioned and for specifically this concert series to benefit Iris. It does connect with a lot of my other body of work. You mentioned at the top the socially conscious composition. This is a concept I've been working on that I'm sure many other composers would share in at least those goals, but it's a term I use to describe music that engages global challenges. So that could be things like armed conflict, climate change, human displacement. And in the case of Between Tides, this choral work that we will premiere on Sunday, I was exploring the human impact of climate change and the challenge of climate equity. And to do that, I decided to amplify the firsthand accounts of real climate refugees displaced from the Ganges Delta region, which is mostly basically all of Bangladesh and eastern India primarily. So I researched those firsthand accounts. I found a lot of sources, both written sources and video of people talking about their experiences in the moment, photographs, that kind of thing, and news media. All of the sources are from between 2010 and 2023, so quite recent. And I paraphrased their experiences and created a poetic collage, which is another technique I've been working on. And so I created a single libretto and set that libretto for choir, which is what Bethesda's choir will premiere this Sunday.
That seems like a lot of groundwork for a piece. Is that normal? Like, do you try to draw from research? And because it's not just how you feel, you really want to have a sense
Oh,
of telling this story through this music.
yes. All of my work, I strive, depending on what the work is, I strive to make it the most authentic it can be. So this isn't just my own opinions on any of these particular topics. It's grounded in people's real experiences, experiencing whichever the topic is. So in this particular case, climate displacement. Maggie was also alluding to another project of mine that this piece is connected to. I have an ongoing initiative that I've been calling Uplifting Unheard Voices, but it's a larger project from which I will write many different musical works. I got grants in or a specific grant from the Presser Foundation in 2020 to go to Rome and interview refugees. And I interviewed at the time refugees from 11 different countries in 9 different languages with the assistance of other refugees.
Wow.
And in I partnered with the Joel Nafuma Refugee Center, which is a wonderful organization, somewhat similar to IRIS, but located in Rome, Italy. And I chose Rome specifically because most of the refugees that are fleeing anywhere in Africa or the Middle East statistically tend to go through either Greece or Italy or both on their path to Europe and beyond. So I knew Rome would be something of a crossroads. And by going there, I could encounter quite a few of these refugees who had just arrived. Then I expanded that project a little bit. I did those interviews in October of 2021. I then came back to the US and I was teaching at the time at Miami University of Ohio, and I expanded my project to incorporate interviews with the Ukrainian refugees who were just beginning to arrive from the recent and ongoing, unfortunately, Russian invasion of Ukraine. So I, in that case, in the summer of 22, all the way through the winter of 22, interviewed an additional 13 Ukrainian refugees, and I've taken all of those transcripts. You might wonder, how do you take interview transcripts, interview material, and turn that into music? So at the moment, I am just finishing up the transcripts themselves. It's like 300 pages of text. And from that, I will distill individual parts and pieces from everyone's experiences to create the first of the works coming from those interviews that is very closely connected to the piece you'll hear on Sunday. I'm anticipating this summer getting to the crux of this Uplifting Unheard Voices project following my work in the Between Tides that I wrote for the Bethesda Music Series. And that work will be a vocal orchestral symphony that sets parts and pieces from every single refugee I interviewed, all 33, so that the work itself can hope to amplify the broader refugee experience as opposed to any one individual. And then after that work is at least started, I plan to go back and write a series of chamber works and choral works that focus on the specific experiences of individuals so I can spend more attention and zoom in on those particular stories in detail. And from there, I will hopefully have quite a few works to get out there into the world so that the audience can learn about the experiences of these refugees, whether they're climate refugees in the case of Between Tides, or in most cases, those that I interviewed in Rome and then in the US fleeing Ukraine are they're refugees displaced by armed conflict and violence. So I hope to amplify their words to bring a greater awareness, of course, to those their plight, but more importantly, to try to motivate the listeners to this music to do anything they can in their own lives to help the world take a really small step towards ending the conflicts and experiences that cause these refugees to have to flee in the first place. That's the goal.
So Margaret, in creating this music series, have y'all as a church, is the Integrated Refugee and Immigrant Services y'all raise money for on the regular, or how did you choose IRIS to be the recipient of all this goodwill?
We have had a relatively long relationship with IRIS. I would say we do at least one concert per year to benefit them. And they are kind enough to bring over or to send over a representative to speak a little bit about their mission and the plight of the people who come. There are times, depending on the influx of refugees and immigrants to this area, when their needs are greater than other times. But the last few years have highlighted a lot of their needs, and a lot of refugees have come to our area and are building new lives here.
And so, how does your church handle the anti-refugee sentiment that seems to be pervasive right now?
Well, interestingly, within our church, I have not sensed any of that. I know I read about the news stories and see that, but I think as a church, we are very supportive of the immigrant community and try to do what we can to help them integrate. I'm not aware of anything outside of our church that has been, done or dealt with. But I know that we as a church body are very strongly supportive.
So when people come to the concert, how do they give? It's like a free will offering, or is there a price? Is
Exactly.
there? Oh,
As
okay.
they leave, they can put a donation in a basket. They can give online. This will be live streamed, so people can watch it online and give that way. We can, even after the fact, we'll accept donations for IRIS. So we welcome anybody's attendance, whether they can give or not. I think that it'll make them more mindful of some of the issues just to be there. And if they can help, we hope that they will.
Okay. So Martin, when you do a piece of a body of work, and this is, sounds like a very important body of work, and you got all these moving parts, right? Because you got a choir and you've got other musicians that you have to, get in formation. How does that work? And how often do you come down to do this, or how do you coordinate this? Because you're upstate New York, and how do you make this
Oh,
all happen?
I'm pretty used to doing this kind of thing by now. Let's see. I did my first composition recital in 2010, so it's been 14 years of experience. And that was while I was at the University of Connecticut. And I'm pretty used to going to places all over, whether that's New Haven, Connecticut, or I'll be going to the Czech Republic to work with an orchestra there this summer. The logistics are a If you ask any composer who is probably on the younger side, they may not have yet realized, but if you ask any composer with some experience under their belt, only about, I would say, less than half of the work of being a composer is actually writing any music at all. The majority of what you do is all the other stuff that helps you get that music to the listeners, whether that's arranging a concert or connecting with an organization to get access to some sort of either population you want to interview, in my case, or perhaps an organization that has a concert hall. There's a lot of skills that your average person may not know that a composer needs to be able to do. I mean, just managing the schedules of all the musicians you need to pull together to rehearse and then perform a work is a separate skill entirely. And I imagine that's probably true of many different kinds of performing artists. There are obviously pluses and minuses to any artist's experience, but that is an added challenge to the life of being a composer, I would say.
So, all right, so you're doing this concert on Sunday. How long is the concert? Like, what can people expect? I'm coming. I'm gonna sit there. What am I? What's the? How does it get started?
Well,
Meg, you want to take this one?
sure. At least I'll start. So this is the first such concert of an entire concert of one of Martin Hebel's. So we are highlighting several of his a variety of his works. They
Oh,
can
okay.
expect, yes. So there are a couple of pieces for solo flute, trombones and baritone singer, other ensembles like cello, trombone, and piano, voice, flute, and piano, and it'll end in this big choral commission that he wrote for this particular concert. So we are very proud that Martin grew up at Bethesda, and that we can feature him in this wonderful music. And it seems particularly timely given what's going on in the world. So there
Yes.
will be a variety, a great variety, and it'll last about an hour, I would suspect, followed by a reception. So.
I love it. So you've been doing these music series for quite some time, various themes over the years, I would imagine.
Yes. The
And
series, yeah, there's a
go
great deal
ahead.
of variety. We will have anything from a choral concert to a piano. Every fall we have a Bach concert in October. We're having a bluegrass band next September. So we try to really, we've had this steel drum band from St. Luke's. So we try to really offer a variety of musical opportunities. And
I like it.
yeah, great.
So Martin, I talk to musicians all the time. I'm friends with Alistair Neal over at the symphony, who was about to depart and go live in Paris, of all, that godforsaken country, city. And I was at the concert for the International Festival of Arts and Ideas with Sona Jabarte, who is the only woman playing the kora out of Gambia, out of Western Africa. And I always ask musicians, and I know quite a few musicians, do you hear music everywhere you go? Do you think and breathe music? Do you listen to other music than what you compose?
Oh, yeah. Actually, you'd be perhaps surprised. Very few composers listen frequently to their own music. I would say it's quite rare that I'm listening to my own music because I wrote it, so I tend to know it reasonably well. I find when I'm walking down the street or talking to my students in the classroom, there's always an inspiration for a work, and there's always something I'm thinking about for the next work and the work after that that I really want to write. The biggest challenge is not actually finding the inspiration, it's finding enough time in the day to get to actually write that music. But yeah, there's inspiration takes a number of forms for me, and I imagine this would be unique to any particular composer that you'll speak to. Or musician, for that matter, any performing artist of any kind. But for me, sometimes that inspiration comes from other music. That is a frequent occurrence. But also, it could be visual art or a particularly moving piece of poetry. But more so lately, especially with my vocal works that you'll hear three of, counting the choral premiere on this concert this Sunday. Inspiration tends to come from really meaningful and poignant experiences that often take the form of other people's experiences that I empathize with and sympathize with and feel a need to amplify. I view the role of a composer, I suppose of any artist, is to, among other things, be a social mirror of sorts. That is to illuminate and share with the community the most important components of that community, and to amplify the voices and experiences of those that cannot do it themselves. So with my music, even my instrumental music that has no vocal component to it, I'm often connecting with some pertinent experience that is extra musical, shall we say, something outside of music. That could be, I mean, on this concert, you'll hear two solo flute works that Maggie mentioned that are both inspired by the natural environment. You'll hear a piano. Solo piano miniature, also dealing with the environment, but from the perspective of seeking to evoke those vibrant colors and the beauty of nature to highlight the fact that it is disappearing due to humanity's impact. You'll hear the piece I wrote specifically for Dr. Astrup, Mother of Exiles is its title. It's a work for solo voice, flute, and piano, which combines two poems to explore this contradiction I see in society. Again, acting as a social mirror here, between the ideals of welcoming immigrants and refugees to the United States and the fact that we tend to systematically, as a society, enlist them as, among other things, soldiers in to perpetuate the wars that they fled in the first place. So I've combined the famous poem called The New Colossus, which people will be more familiar in its iteration on the base of the Statue of Liberty. And I've combined that with a poem from 1914 that explores the experiences of an unnamed soldier killed in World War I, and combined those two into a single libretto that Maggie so beautifully sings. So those are the kinds
Margaret,
of
are you
works
a
I'm
singer?
considering.
You're gonna sing too?
Yes. I'm a voice professor and singer.
Oh, see, I didn't get that part. All right. Okay. So this is gonna be a good time at Bethesda Lutheran. So the concert is Sunday, April 7th at 4:30 at Bethesda. It's the Bethesda Music Series. And this concert is going to benefit Iris. It's come, put some money in the, if you like the concert, you love the music, put your money where your mouth is and help them carry out the mission of helping refugees that come to our city. And Martin, it's got to be really sweet that the church that you were raised up in is entrusting you with this opportunity to present your music. I mean, you have a welcoming audience. So, what is that like as we make our way off this channel?
It's such a joy to get to come back. The Bethesda Music Series is one of the situations in which I encountered professional performance of music pretty early on. I grew up attending them among other concerts, and so it's quite a joy to come home to New Haven and Hamden, and share my music with an audience that's known me since before I can remember. Quite a joy.
Now, do you get pizza when you get home? Like, what do you do?
Yes, of all the things, I am an ardent supporter of New Haven pizza.
You have a choice?
Shout
Because you
out
know
to
these pizza wars are tough out here. Which is your
I have three favorites for very different reasons, and they're different styles. My three favorites in no particular order are modern, my kind of classic go-to. I love bar, and I also love Yorkside. That Yorkside particularly has a really close place in my heart. I grew up
I
going to
didn't
that
see
a
Yorkside coming. I figured one of the trilogy would be in
lot.
there,
Of course.
Modern Sally's Peppies, but I didn't see Yorkside. So that's pretty
Yorkside,
good.
it's my dad was an architect right around the corner from Yorkside, so we would go there pretty often. So
Okay. All
it's
right.
got some sentimental value.
Because those of us in New Haven, and that we take our pizza very serious,
Oh,
and
yes.
this is a conversation that even Paul Giamatti had with Jimmy Kimmel about New Haven
Oh, yeah.
pizza. So you're in good stead. Margaret, it was a pleasure talking to you. Martin, it was a pleasure talking to you. I'm looking forward to it. I might not make the concert, but I definitely want to see it streamed. And if you're streaming, that means it'll be up on your website for a minute so I can go back and watch, listen.
Thank you
So
so much.
thank you very
thank you
much,
so
Pat.
much, and good
Pleasure
luck,
meeting
and
you.
welcome back home.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. All right, Harry
Bye.
Droz, thank you. And we just had an earthquake in New Haven. We just had a little bit of a earthquake, which was a little distracting to me because I was like, what is happening? But I just checked the news. We had an earthquake that started in New Jersey that is moved up through New York into Connecticut. So just
I felt it
FYI.
here.
Yes, I felt it. That's why I was like, what is
I
happening?
felt it
So
too and was looking around. Yes.
yes, I was like, wait a minute, I have to be on the show. So, yes, it was an earthquake. So
Wow.
wow. Wow is right. So talk about your music, Martin, is timely for environmental kinds of things. So there you go.
Breaking news with Babs. Yes.
Thank you. So
Thank
y'all
you.
have a good one. Enjoy your weekend and enjoy the concert. Thank you
Thank
all.
you very much,
See
Babs.
you.
Have a
Thank
wonderful
you,
weekend.
Harry.